morning, and thank you for tuning in again to our morning worship broadcast. On behalf of Magalee Free Presbyterian Church, we give a special word of welcome to those from the congregation who are associated with the church, and to those from other places. We do thank you very much for listening to us today, and we trust that what we say will be of benefit to you and that the Lord will meet your need. Maybe we could all bow together in a wee word of prayer now and just commit our time to the Lord, remembering those who are unwell. There's a lot of people through the country sick at the moment, and everybody, all of us know someone who is ill and in need of our prayerful support. So we look to the Lord now, please. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the Lord's day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to turn to thy word, to find comfort and guidance and even assurance. And Father, we thank thee today again for thy love toward us. Thank you, Lord, for searching for us and seeking us out when we had our backs toward thee and our face toward the world. And Father, we do rejoice in all that you've provided for us. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us new creatures in Christ. And Lord, we are glad today that we're born again of thy Spirit, saved by God's free and sovereign grace. And Lord, we do ask for every family that is connected with our congregation in Achillea in any way, that the Lord would continue to meet every need. And Lord, again, we ask for those who are unwell, whether they're in hospital or at home or in nursing care, that the Lord would minister to them and their loved ones in these difficult days. We ask, Lord, today that very soon we would be able to come back again and meet in our churches as we love to do. And as we pray to that end, we pray that we might see the Lord's hand move in our land, and that this virus, Lord, that's troubled us for quite a long time now, that very soon there would be a great decline in the number of people taking ill because of it. We do remember today our missionaries. We pray that you would help them and encourage them and meet their particular need. And Lord, just again for all of our friends and family and loved ones, some of them are not saved yet, and we ask that today, as some will be listening to the word, may God be pleased to use the scripture of truth to speak to needy hearts, and may there be that work of regeneration in hearts. We look to thee, Lord, to bless every effort today, every faithful effort in the gospel. May thy people too be built up and encouraged and led on with thyself. And Lord, we just pray again that there might be those evident tokens for good, that God's church is being built and that his work is going forward. Undertake for us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just have a couple of announcements to make to the congregation in Achillea. Again, we invite you to come back again and tune in this evening. God willing, we will have a message up before 6:30, and we ask you please tune in and to pray that the Lord would use it to speak to some. We're very pleased to hear from time to time that some people that are not saved are listening to gospel messages, our own gospel messages as well, and we are praying that the Lord would use them even to turn some to the Saviour. So we ask you please to come and listen to us, and to pray, and to even try and get unsaved people to listen as well. We also want to invite you along on Wednesday evening to what may be our final Zoom prayer meeting for this time. When I say maybe, it is hoped that after the 1st of March, we will be back as a denomination into our churches. And now that is not definite yet. And if there's, we will let you know for sure when we know for sure, but at the minute, that is the way it's going to be. Our churches will be allowed to open from the 1st of March, which will mean that on the 3rd of March, our prayer meeting will be in the building. If there is any change, of course, we will let you know, but please do pray to that end. And then that'll mean the following Sunday, the 7th of March, will be the first Lord's Day back in our buildings again. And folks, please pray that there'll be no more of this, that the situation will be such in the land that it will be, that it will be safe for us to stay in our churches and to worship there and to get ourselves involved in all the other things in God's work that we are usually involved with. We miss it greatly, and we believe that it is great benefit to God's people to be busy and to be involved, and of course to the community around us. They need the word, and they need to see us working as well. But we do ask you please to join with us on Zoom on Wednesday evening, if you could. We have had good prayer meetings right through this pandemic and before it as well, and that is encouraging for us all So we give you that word of welcome. And then the next Sunday, God willing, will be our final Sunday on Facebook for this time, when we hope to have two messages there for the congregation, which they will be on Facebook and sermon audio as well. So we just leave these things with you. There are many people that are unwell. Many of them are known to you and I both. We'll not attempt to name them, but please do pray that God would perfect that which concerns them. Again, we're very glad to have you today, and we trust that the Lord will use his word to meet your need this morning. Could you turn, please, to 2 Timothy and chapter 2? 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, it's Paul's second letter to Timothy, who was a young minister. He perhaps was timid and he needed encouragement. And he wasn't very well as far as health was concerned either sometimes. But Paul loved him in the Lord and he tried to help him. He was convinced that the Lord had called Timothy to preach, and he tried his best to encourage him and to help him to help others in what he said. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts this morning and for his name's sake. Now there you will notice in verse 24 the word gentle. And what I want to speak to you about this morning for a while is the unique ministry of gentleness. It's very interesting when you look at this chapter and you see what the Apostle Paul had to say to Timothy. At the very beginning, he says to him there in verse 3 of chapter 2, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He does not suggest to Timothy in any way that the work that he is involved in will simply be a bed of roses. But he warns him here in these words to endure hardness. The word hardness there is a word that literally means to suffer evil. And he's saying to Timothy here, suffer this evil as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. So he's talking to Timothy here about Christian warfare. He said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." So you can see even from those verses that we've looked at that Paul is reminding Timothy that he is a soldier in the Lord's army, that everything will not be plain sailing. And even in verse 8, he says to him there, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, the word. Remember, there is where it talks about remembering Jesus Christ. It's in the original. It's in the form of a battle cry, as many in another nation sometimes would use the cry and have done in battles. Remember the Alamo. Well, this is a battle cry. This was Timothy's battle cry, and it's yours and mine as well. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So we can see here that the apostle was showing to Timothy and reminding him that he was a soldier and there was going to be hardness there. Now, already that tells me, when he's told him now to endure this hardness and he is to be a soldier, then he tells him down in these verses on down through the chapter about being careful. And in verse 24, he's giving him instruction here regarding gentleness. This is something that Timothy would also have to preach about to others. He may not always be the recipient of gentleness, but he and those that he taught were to try to exhibit this gentleness. And I want to say right at the start that gentleness is very distinguishable from weakness. He's not saying to Timothy in any way, you are to be weak. He's not saying you have to be dishonorable or that if something is evil, he's not saying you don't call it out. Of course, Timothy would have to do that. But we want to make sure that you understand that gentleness is very distinguishable from weakness. And showing this gentleness does not mean giving up any truth, and it does not mean setting aside any principle. A Christian is one in whom is no guile. And for you and I, we're aiming to get the balance. Over there in Jonah chapter 1, it says at the very beginning of the book, in verse 1 of the first chapter, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, the name Jonah means dove. And you've heard the saying, to be harmless as a dove. But his father's name, Amittai, means my truth. So really, if you put the two together, you have the picture of what we want to be. We want to be those who speak the truth, but to be like the dove, or to have that dove-like spirit as we go around to men and women. And folks, there are some opportunities that you and I have, and we have to wait a long time. Maybe it's to get witnessing to someone we have been praying about, or something else in God's work. We've had to wait. But here's something that you and I can exercise every single day. This gentleness that's talked about here in verse 24. And it can be of great benefit to others. It can bring happiness to them. Even believers that you know, we can show gentleness to each other, then it can do untold good as far as our walk with the Lord is concerned. Remembering that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is for every Christian. And therefore, when Paul mentions this gentleness here, he's talking about something which ought to be part and parcel of our lives. And I want just for a few moments to consider with you the unique ministry of gentleness. I want you to notice, first of all, as we have noted a little bit about its importance, we want you to notice the cultivating of this gentleness. If you and I, in our habits, in our pastimes, and in our general behavior, if we can cultivate right throughout all that we do, if we can cultivate this gentleness, then it can benefit us in different ways. It can benefit us, number one, in regulating. Look with me, please, if you would, at verse 23. It says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now, we don't want strifes. And it talks there about foolish and unlearned questions. And maybe if this gentleness is cultivated in our lives, we can make sure that our speech is regulated, that we do not in any way cause well, any kind of strife among ourselves and any other believers. Look at verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings. That seems very strong. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. But then it says, and their word will eat as doth a canker. The word canker there is the same word as means gangrene. So therefore what I say is very important, and it needs to be regulated. It needs to be regulated. When Paul was writing to the church, Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 6, says here, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. It's very interesting that there was salt added to the sacrifice in Leviticus chapter 2. And that salt is mentioned here when it comes to seasoning. Salt is something which ought to add flavor. It is also a preservative. And it says here, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Therefore, the whole verse shows me that our speech, my speech, I should say, is very, very important, and it needs to be regulated. It's so easy for me or anybody else to say the wrong thing. Over there in Titus chapter 2 and the verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech, there's the speech again, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The world about you, Christian, is a place that is vulgar, and it's growing more vulgar every week. It is vulgar, and it is very harsh. And some of you listening may be older than me, and you know how rude it is. And you know what a speech is like. But you and I are to be different. We are to have a different type of speech. And we are to have a regulated speech. And you know, if you think of this gentleness, when we have this gentleness cultivated in our lives, when we're displaying it as the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, I will have cultivated or aim to cultivate that gentleness, then I will be careful what I say. I hope I'll be careful what I say to you. Anytime I'm talking to you, I'm careful to the world in general. And when you think of that today, I'm thinking here of the unique ministry of gentleness. With this pandemic and all of the upset that it's caused, and all of the anxiety, and I use the word depression because it has caused depression, there's some brother or sister perhaps known to you, and what they really need today, or known to me, what they really need is someone to come along and to speak gently to them. Now, to speak honestly to them. If they're slipping away from the things of God, remember the mixture of Jonah and the Midianite, harmless as a dove, but my truth, speaking the truth in love, in other words. But there is that gentleness which someone may be looking for just right now. And you and I, Christian, we want to cultivate this gentleness, because when we live in the world, it's very easy just to become like them. And for that harshness to come in, and that hardness, I'm not suggesting the vulgarness would come in, but the gentleness might leave. And remember, gentleness is not weakness. Timothy here was to teach it to others. Paul knew the value of it. He showed much of it to Timothy and others as well. So we're looking here at the cultivating of this gentleness. If we do cultivate it, it will regulate. Well, it will regulate what we say. But it will remind us. It will remind us of what the Lord has done for us. Over there in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 32, Paul is writing again. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. There's the gentleness. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You see where it says there, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Only you and I and the Lord knows what he's forgiven us for. And it was a lot. And one of the hindrances, someone said to me recently, in the blessing of the Church of Christ today, is an inability to forgive one another. Now, that does not mean, again, that we simply sweep aside something that has to be dealt with. But if a brother or a sister perhaps has said something, and maybe in the spur of the moment, and it has offended us, and they say sorry for that, then I ought to forgive them. Ought to have that forgiving spirit. Again, I read what Paul said. He said, to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, whenever revival came, wherever the revival was, whether it was here in Ulster, in one of the revivals, or in the mainland or somewhere else, one of the things that marked the revival was a great gentleness among God's people and a great concern one for another. And gentleness was manifested right around the country when the Lord moved in revival. And may that spirit of gentleness prevail in my heart and in our congregation and right across the Christian church in Ulster at this time. How we need the Lord to come and to move again. And may he find this spirit of gentleness with us. It's a great ministry to be a man or woman who is gentle. And I know that I'm probably speaking to many today who have that gentle nature about them. And it is so valuable to the world around you, but also to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. There is the cultivating of this gentleness. Let's get it into all of our lives. But when we look at the gentleness, again, there is the convincing of this gentleness. What you and I want to do is, well, we want each other and other Christians to know that we care about them. But we want the unsaved to know that we care for their souls. We care for their souls. And if you and I are to convince people that we care for them, then I think we must have this gentleness. Over there in Galatians chapter 1, Paul was writing, Galatians chapter 6, just back a couple of pages. No, it is Galatians. What am I talking about? It is Galatians. Just give me a moment here. Galatians 6 it is, and verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's an oversight in the church, and spiritual oversight, and they have responsibility. And if someone falls into sin, while there must be discipline, that person, God willing, can be restored. But he is to be restored, it says here, in the spirit of meekness. Not to tramp them down, but rather to try to help them up. And you and I can think of some right now, or I can think of some now who have made or are making, this morning, they're making a mess of things. And how they need to see gentleness in us when we're talking with them. Yes, there must be truth there. And we don't depart from that. We don't set it aside. We don't set any principles aside. But in dealing with somewhere where there has been fault, let there be gentleness. Convincing those who have faults, who have erred, but convincing family. And this is very important to all of us. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Some of the saddest cases that I know of around the countryside are cases where there's great division between parents and the children, and it ought not to be. And it says here, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We must discipline our children. We must tell them the truth, and If they don't like that, well, we must tell it to them anyway. But in all of that, there has to be a gentleness with us. And the importance of the children of today growing up, being grounded in the things of God, yes, but having experienced gentleness, we cannot overemphasize the importance of that. Over there in the Psalm 144, in the verse 12, it says that our sons be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. I want to look here to what it says about sons. First of all, it says that our sons be as plants, referring to the oak of the forest. And the oak has a great deal of stability about it. It is a very useful tree. It is something which grows straight. And therefore, for your sons and mine, through discipline, through prayer, but through gentleness, making sure that we don't provoke them to wrath, but that we deal in gentleness. And I'm certainly not dictating to you what to do in your family. I'm speaking of my own heart, and I'm looking here at the Psalm 144 and looking at what we want. We want our sons to be as plants grown in their youth, like the oak of the forest, stability there and usefulness there. We certainly would not want to stunt their growth by never displaying gentleness to them. And we have to be honest when we look at the news and the cases that are coming up these days. Some children, when they're growing up, they were not shown much gentleness. And it's telling now. And you and I, we want to show gentleness so that our sons might be those in this upcoming generation who will love the Lord and do exploits for him, who will be useful for him. It goes on to say, our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Some refer to this as the corner of the temple, as the cornerstones that joined the two walls together there. They were very often very ornate and very attractive. And of course, it's referring to that inner beauty of young women, that godliness that sets them apart, that spirit of meekness that marks them out as the Lord, that distinguishing character that they have and that the young men have as well as being young Christians. And what a blessed thing it is, and what a great privilege it is for you and I as a church to be involved, whether it's in Sunday school, in the Bible classes, in the youth meeting, the children's meeting, or in our homes. What a privilege to have a part in shaping young men and women to serve the Lord in their own day and generation. Part of that shaping is gentleness, provoking them not to wrath. There's great stress today, and I know there's great stress in many, many homes. Well, I trust that the Lord will help you and I to not allow the stress to affect the gentleness that we show in our homes. We're looking here at the convincing of this gentleness. We can convince those who have erred concerning their faults. Maybe we can convince our families. We can convince those maybe who are far away from the things of God. Look what it says in verse 25 of 2 Timothy 2. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, where it says there that oppose themselves, it says to place oneself in opposition. That's what it means. There's people all around us who have placed themselves in opposition to what the Bible teaches. They don't want to hear the gospel. But if you and I pray and preach and show gentleness, remember again, Timothy was a soldier. He had to endure hardness. He had to have that battle cry. He had a straight furrow to plow. He wasn't allowed to set aside any of his principles or any of the truth of God. He had to be faithful in all of that. But this gentleness was important. It says again in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. The word strive there, it literally means to make war. Well, I trust, or I take it, that it means to make war among the believers. We war with the world, and we war against the flesh and the devil. But you and I, it says here not to strive, but be gentle unto all men, or unto all men as far as lies within you. That does not mean that you don't stand up for something which is right and truth, and you don't speak the truth. But you and I can convince those perhaps that are far away. What about those? We can convince them. Here's a way we can convince them, by fleeing. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So you and I have a good opportunity to exercise this ministry of gentleness every day. The convincing of it, convincing those who have erred about their faults, convincing our family, our sons and our daughters, those that are precious to us, convincing those that are far away, some of them are our loved ones. Convincing by fleeing, you and I need to win in the battle with sin. In the midst of all of these things, whether it is the countryside around us or our posterity, let there be gentleness. We've looked at the gentleness there. We've looked at the cultivating of it. We've looked at the convincing of it. One final thought, that is the contribution of it. Look at verse 22, and I will be brief. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It is with those who are the Lord's. And if that is the case, if you're living a holy life, there will be that uplifting of others. That's the first thing. People living a holy life encourage other Christians. Men and women who are prayerful and who are gentle and who are displaying the fruit of the Spirit, that really encourages other Christians. Let's strive to encourage one another. When we get back into our churches, do the very best we can to be encouragers. We can contribute by uplifting. We can contribute by uniting. It says here, you must not strive. As I said, it means to make war. You don't want to be fighting at all with each other. We want to be giving our energy and our thoughts to the work of God and to the need of those around us and to uplifting one another. So our contribution with this gentleness can be uplifting, there can be uniting, but then usefulness. Look at verse 21. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, that is from things which were wrong, notably the wrong words. We mentioned that earlier on in verse 17. It said, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's work, master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And I trust that the Lord will help all of us regarding this gentleness, the unique ministry of gentleness. And may the Lord help us as we go forward preaching his truth and standing for him. And as the hymn says, like a mighty army goes the church of God. It's onward Christian soldiers. That's what we are. But let us all exercise this ministry of gentleness. We do thank you for listening and trust that the Lord will help all of us in this area, important area of God's work.